Item number 10 is our enforcement report. Mr. Briggs?
Per usual, this is a written report with staff available to answer your questions. Now, this one, we did receive an advance question from a board member, and it's addressed in the Q&A document. And it had to do with exactly which of the spills and leaks affect or made it to a water body. And I went through the list, and I think we did note in those cases of overflows or spills, not for cases where there's an effluent limit, because that's a different situation, but mm-hmm. or a violation of an effluent limit. But for those cases where there are spills, I believe they all were noted, but I did see that we kind of bounced around in the table as to whether that appeared in the description column. For example, if you look at the very first entry for the city of Atascadero, in the description column it says did not reach surface waters. And then in other places, like, for example, city of Gilroy, it says no water body affected because creek was dry, but that's in the comments column. So we weren't terribly consistent, and it does make it a little difficult to ascertain that. So as I said in the answer, we'll try to make that more clear for future reports. We will make it more clear.
Mr. Briggs,
mm-hmm.
I noticed that under notice of violation, Boulder Creek Golf and Country Club, so I tried to look that up on the spreadsheet. I did not notice it. Should I be able to find it there?
Let's see. Notice of violation.
I think the list is more current and the table is a different time period. I think that's the difference.
That
yeah, I think so.
Is that correct, Harvey?
Harvey Packard, enforcement staff. The list of notices of violation on the blue page covers a period November 1st through December 31st, and the table is September 1st, October 31st. So, yeah, they are different time periods. It takes some time to get all of the violations into the table because we wait for quarterly and monthly reports mm-hmm. so that we know what the violations are, whereas the NOVs, as soon as we issue them, we know what they are. So. Mm-hmm. A lag there.
Okay, thank you.
I notice here with the city of Santa Barbara that there's a number of recent overflows, and that the very last one has RV action as an NOV. And then I noticed that we got a letter from Kira Redman from Channel Keeper expressing concern about their overflows. How is the city doing with this problem, and why does this seem? This seems to be ongoing, but also at a more frequent rate than what I recall historically.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to defer that question to Ryan Lodge of our staff.
Okay.
Good morning, Ryan Lodge, board staff. There has been an increase in the last few years of overflows from the city. There isn't a pattern, though, in the overflows. They seem to be occurring throughout the city. Part of the problem, or the issue the city, the challenge the city has to deal with is they have a fairly old infrastructure, a collection system. They are taking a more aggressive approaches to their collection system. They have a sewer system management plan they just recently updated. And they implemented a lateral inspection program for private laterals. Some of that has actually may have resulted in some more spills. As laterals are being cleaned, they're finding some of the materials being shot out into the main system. they're working on communication with private plumbers to get that taken care of. Most of their spills are small, less than 1,000 gallons. I think probably 80% of their spills are less than 1,000 gallons. And they have very good response time, and that helps reduce the volume of the spills. But most of the spills are caused by root intrusion, partially because of it's an old system. They do have an aggressive cleaning program.
Does staff have any criteria for how many of these smaller spills are acceptable before staff takes the next step with the discharger? I noticed here with the NOV, you stated that because it was over 3,000 gallons, that tripped a criteria for issuing an NOV. But what about when it's less than that? Can they, as long as they clean it up, are they entitled to have these problems indefinitely and with any frequency?
I mean, no, we want to see a downward trend, and it has been going up, which has been a concern for us. We have been in discussions with the city in terms of how they implement their program. We reviewed their management plan. It is an aggressive plan, and they are very responsive. There is no criteria in terms of a certain number of spills triggers an NOV or a certain volume. It's a best professional judgment call, I think, on our end.
Okay.
But we are working with them where it's something that is a concern for staff.
Have you given them some benchmarks or criteria that you want them to satisfy?
No.
No?
Set their own. They actually have their own goals for their system. They're not meeting them this year, but they have in the past. And it's something they take very seriously.
Have you asked them, or have they provided you with any kind of a memo specifically addressing what's going on with their system?
Well, they provide a report annually about their collection system, where they break down the number of spills, the location. They look at the trend. They've acknowledged that the trend is going up the last couple of years, and then they discuss ways to improve it. They also have a capital improvement program, where each year they spend a certain amount on improving their system. They have had fewer spills caused by wet weather events, which in the past produced larger spills. They have improved some of those areas that were previously bottlenecks and caused overflows during wet weather periods. They've replaced those lines.
Do you have, is there a table where someone could look and see at what point an NOV gets triggered and at what point staff does the next step? Is there some table that you use?
No. There's, just like after a certain number,
NOV sent priority violation because greater than 5,000 gallons. Where does that come from?
That I'd have to defer to Harvey for that.
Harvey Packard, that is a criterion that's included in the enforcement policy. Enforcement policy has several criteria that we use to classify violations as priority or non-priority, and that's one of them. It doesn't necessarily mean that there has to be additional action, but it does trigger more review or more heightened review on our part for enforcement. Mm-hmm. So we go through each violation and determine whether it's a priority or not, and then the priority violations are prioritized even further to determine which ones we're going to follow up on and take enforcement action.
Mm. And that's the State Water Board's enforcement policy?
Correct. That's a state policy.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Chairman Young.
Yes, Mr. Hausch.
Technically, there's no violation, is it? There's no real violation unless the spill reaches water, a body of water, or groundwater, or surface water.
No, it's still a violation. It's a public health threat to have sewage wandering around.
Okay. They can only discharge from one point, which is after it goes to the treatment plant and is treated and then can go into the ocean.
Okay.
So, yes.
I do have a question.
Yes, Dr. Hunter.
Thank you.
Did you want to add something too, Russ?
Yes.
Okay.
What she said.
Okay, Dr. Hunter.
Okay, thank you. I'm interested in the sewer system management plan.
Right.
And I see there was some additional information provided in the Q&A, and I appreciate that because I wasn't aware of the deadlines here, and it looks like this year and next year. But Ryan said something about the sewer system management plan is something that is developed by the entity, the permittee, and they set their own goals and objectives. Do we look at the sewer system management plan in terms of problems that are reflected in the historical record in terms of violations or in terms of the repetitive issues that are coming up with their system? And does staff then focus on those and bring those up to a level where we feel like this kind of problem is being addressed, since it seems to be chronic,
right,
even though it's spread throughout the system, it's
right,
the system itself.
Yeah, in a system like that where we know there are problems, we should be reviewing those plans and making sure that they have correct or appropriate responses outlined in them. The order does not require the entities to submit the plans.
Okay.
Is that right, David?
That's right.
But in cases like Santa Barbara, we definitely want a copy, and we do have copies, and we review them and make sure that they're adequate. For most of the entities that you asked about in Monterey Bay, we did review those plans, or have reviewed them, or will review them.
Okay.
And made sure that they're adequate.
Excellent. So there's good staff interaction in how these plans are being prepared and finalized.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then do we see them when their permit is renewed, or do they submit those plans?
They're not required to submit them. We can ask for them at any time. They do submit reports on how they're doing and how they're implementing their plans.
Okay.
Mr. Jeffries.
Well, I think it's a point of clarification. On page 8 at the top, it says the city of Salinas failed leach line at the Prunedale Shopping Center. That's eight or 9 miles north
of
Salinas.
Yes, I caught that one. I thought we were going to fix it. That's definitely not the city of Salinas.
It's Monterey County.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a private action, a private development, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if it was just a typo or.
I think so.
Not that Salinas doesn't need credit. But, thank you.
So. Mr. Briggs, Channel Keeper's memo, was that something we were that was submitted for the EO report for discussion, or just generally submitted in response to what's?
No, it was submitted well before this report.
As I recall, it was she had made a public comment at the hearing in December, and then she submitted it as a follow-up.
Right. So we responded, and then I think, Dr. Hunter, you asked for the spreadsheet, so I sent that Kira Redmond had submitted, and so I submitted that to the board, or sent that to the board.
Well, what should we do, anything? I mean, direct staff. It's not an action item, but we could ask staff to do something if we thought what more was needed. I guess I just have a concern that, and it's not maybe just Santa Barbara, but frequently we see bunches of these pop up.
But City of Santa Barbara has historically had a number of spills.
Yeah.
History.
Right.
The 15 plus years I've been on this board, we've constantly seen.
Right.
And we've asked the city on numerous occasions why they're having the problems, and of course they say that they have a lot of trees and roots,
right,
and those kind of blockages, and of course it always boils down to dollars and cents, that cities or counties don't have all the money they need to do the proper maintenance on their either their stormwater or their sewer systems. But I think that we need to keep a closer eye on that, because it seems to be, as you pointed out, building up, and ask the questions.
Well, should we put something on the agenda and ask the city to respond or explain what they're doing to try to address this, Dr. Hunter?
We might start with asking them to submit their sewer system management plan. I'm not sure if it's complete or if they're still in process. I see deadlines coming up here, May and August. That might be a good way for staff to take a look at.
Ryan, what do you suggest we do?
We do have their sewer system management plan, and we did review it in response to Kira Redmond's letter and questions about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fairly comprehensive plan. They have an aggressive cleaning program and a capital improvement program. And the struggle with the staff has had, I've talked to our enforcement staff and tried to figure out what approach to take. The challenge is if we do pursue enforcement action, it possibly takes resources away from them being able to continue to clean and improve their system as it is. But we've had the discussions internally about how to handle it, the number of spills, and the fact that they're continuing to occur. And it's something we're still discussing.
Do you know if they're still scoping their video camering, their lines?
Yes. Yeah, they have a
full-time.
That's
ongoing?
That's ongoing.
But the question, I think, is are they repairing the locations that they're finding that they're having problems? Because it's obvious some of these are continuously reoccurring in the same areas.
They prioritize it based on their TVing of the lines, and they set a priority list of repairs, and then they take on the ones that are most problematic first and take those on as priority projects. They clean their system their whole system at least once per year. So they're constantly cleaning and then TVing the lines.
Ryan, maybe you already mentioned this, I missed it, but my recollection is you mentioned their capital improvement program. They have an amount basically dedicated to replacing so many feet of line in their system based on that priority system every year, right?
Right. There's a percentage of their system that they replace every year, and they have a schedule for that. But if they come across something that's a higher priority, I mean, they know where their problem areas generally are, and so they set a schedule. But if during the course of the year when they have spills and they TV the lines, they can move projects up higher in that priority list. But they have dedicated funds every year to do improvements.
Yeah. I think it was a few years ago now, but we did have the city come to a board meeting and give a complete presentation on their program. It's obvious it's not as effective as it should be, but my impression is they've actually got one of the more aggressive programs in the region. And to clarify on the plan, because maybe that wasn't clear, the plans are required by the state board's general order, but they're not required to submit them. However, where we see that there are sort of hot spots, then we have been reviewing them. In some cases, we had plans from our previous individual waste discharge requirements, so we already had some plans before they rolled over to the general statewide permit.
Well, maybe what we could do is just ask them to give us another presentation at the Santa Barbara meeting, you know, at the end of the year in October, like they did before.
Okay.
Just schedule it as an agenda item so that the board could interact and ask questions and find out about the progress that they're making with this. Do you think that's an appropriate thing to do?
Yeah, it seems reasonable. I mean, they're very proud of their program and their system, and they don't want to see any spills, so I'm sure they'd be fine with discussing it with you.
Okay. All right, and I did notice here that we have the men's colony.
Several
on this particular one, which is recent stuff. These, of course, would not be part of.
Correct.
Yeah, and are not.
And I would recommend not having a discussion about that now, since you have those items on the agenda.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Well, we don't have these violations on the agenda.
Right, but you have other items on the agenda.
Right.
And
okay. Right.
and might confuse the facts.
Right.
Okay. Don't confuse us with the facts, is that what you're saying?
Okay. Any other board comments or questions on this item? All right. Thank you very much.
So we'll let the City of Santa Barbara know about that October date, whatever date that may be.
Yeah. And let them know that, you know, the board expressed a concern about the frequency of their overflows and would like to know, you know, what they're doing about it and when they think they're going to get it under control.
Okay.
All right. Number 11 went by way of consent.